Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our consideration today is from our gospel reading, just the first half, which begins, "And from there Jesus arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden." Jesus went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and the thing you got to know about Tyre and Sidon is that it is not Israel. Tyre and Sidon is Gentile country, and the thing you got to know about Gentiles is that they are not Israel. They are not Jews. They do not have the Holy Scriptures. They've never been catechized or confirmed in the faith of Abraham, Moses, or David. They have never heard the word of the holy prophets, and there thus saith the Lord. And maybe most significantly, they have absolutely no reason whatsoever to expect such a thing as a Messiah, whatever that might mean, a Messiah, who is going to come into this world to make all things new and right and good again before God. So if you want to break from your phone or your email or all your text messages, if you want to get away from all of your Facebook friends, the best thing you can do is to go somewhere where there is no cell phone reception. When Jesus wants to go somewhere to get a bit of a break from the constant press and demands that are on him constantly and without relent, he goes to Gentile country. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house, and he did not want anyone to know, and yet he could not be hidden. What seems quite clear here is that word about this Jesus of Nazareth from Israel, the Jew, is beginning to leak out from Israel into Gentile country. Just as they had done throughout their whole history, Israel tried as hard as they could and wanted to keep word about their God from leaking out from their borders into Gentile country. But when the new Israel comes onto the scene, and Jesus Christ is that new Israel, word about him leaks out to all nations, like a sieve that Israel was always supposed to be, and like the sieve that the Holy Christian Church to this day is supposed to be. So was it a crowd of people who heard about this Jesus of Nazareth who was now in town and who came to this house where he did not want anyone to know? Or was it just this one woman? Or was it just this one woman whom Jesus came to the region of Tyre and Sidon to meet? Whichever the case may be, let's let the Holy Spirit now lead us into this house in the region of Tyre and Sidon, that we might listen in on this incredible meeting that takes place. But immediately, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth. Syrophoenician by birth simply means that she was born in a region called Phoenicia in a country called Syria, which is Gentile country. Here's a woman whose name we are never given. Unlike the disciples, she has spent no time with Jesus. She's never listened to him, never learned from him about the kingdom of heaven as they did. She's never witnessed any of the dramatic demonstrations of his power, never seen any of his miracles as they did. The point here is that this is not someone who's grown up in the church. and has been blessed with a faith that has been formed by a faithful family and loving preaching and teaching and the divine liturgy. This is what Mark means when he goes out of his way to emphasize the fact that she was a Gentile. But somehow, we're not told how, she heard of him. Word had leaked out. It leaked out of Israel, and it reached even this one nameless woman. We're not told what she heard of him, but whatever it was for her, it was enough to come to where he was and fall at his feet. Here's a woman who does not have what we would call a formed faith. In fact, Mark goes out of his way to tell us that it is, in fact, not her faith that brings her to see Jesus. How much different she is from the scribes and the Pharisees, who with their formed faith knew all of the questions to ask and already had all of the answers formed in their minds, and who came to Jesus for no other reason than to put him to the test. But here is a woman who comes to Jesus solely because she is desperate. She has a little daughter, and her little daughter has an unclean spirit. Here's a woman that every parent can identify with. Her child has a terrible problem, and she can't fix it. And it's tearing her up. Maybe in her desperation, she has done many things to no avail. But now, in her desperation, she comes to Jesus. She falls down at his feet. She begged him. She begged him. And the word rightly understood here, she continued to beg him. She begged him repeatedly to cast the demon out of her daughter. Whatever the demon her daughter had was, we're not told. We've heard stories in the Gospels about parents with children who are demon-possessed, who have evil spirits, and it is not a pleasant thing. But as we'll see in just a moment, this woman doesn't even bring her little daughter to Jesus. Maybe it's simply that bad. She must be hoping that this Jesus will come to her house to help her little daughter. She was begging him. It's not hard at all for us to see this picture. And here's where the account takes a really weird and unexpected turn. In response to her begging, Jesus, on behalf of her little daughter, who has an evil spirit, Jesus denies her petition. Let the little children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Listen, I wish it were not so, and I wish that there was a really nice way to put a good positive spin on this for you. But the truth of the matter is, this is really harsh. This is really harsh. Countless commentaries try to put a good spin on this little dog business as though that's really not an insult. It's an insult. And there's no other way to read it. The children are the Jews, Israel, the children of God, who sit at the table of the Lord, and they eat the bread that comes from his hand to their mouth, just as it did when he fed the 5,000 in the wilderness in Israel. But she is not one of them. She's not one of them. She's a Gentile, a dog. And Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He is comparing the children of Israel to her little daughter, a dog. And he is calling her a dog as well. There are indeed a couple of accounts in the Gospels, just like this one, that we really wish Jesus hadn't said, or at least that we wish that the evangelists had had enough wisdom to keep out. In response to her plea, her begging, her prayer, Jesus replies, calling her a dog. And this is embarrassing. It's a bit humiliating for us. Jesus responds to this woman in exactly the opposite way as we would expect him to respond. We expect that he should answer this poor woman and give her what she asks, take pity on her. But that's what Jesus is supposed to do, isn't it? And we're dumbfounded by his response to her prayer, maybe even just a bit irritated and upset with him. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. She isn't. This woman isn't. This nameless Gentile woman is not like us at all. She doesn't take the insult and indignantly storm out of the house like we would. She doesn't say, well, if that's what this Christian religion is like, then you can keep it. Whether she gets Jesus' analogy of children to Israel and little dogs to Gentiles or not, I'm not so sure. But what she probably does get is that when she hears what Jesus says, she thinks, yeah, that's just what my mother always taught me, that when you come to the table, you don't feed the food to the dogs. But if something happens to drop from the table, the crumbs, well, then you just let the dogs eat it. She is perfectly willing then to be that little dog. For just like the dogs, she would be glad for any crumbs that fall from Jesus' table. She answered him, yes, Lord. Compared to our indignance, our embarrassment, our repulsion at this response from Jesus, she says, yes, Lord. No embarrassment, no debate, no righteous indignation. She simply says, yes, Lord. Which is to say, you're entirely right about me. I have absolutely no claim whatsoever on you. I am not appealing to you based on any merit or worthiness in me. And I do not come with my questions already formed, expecting you to answer them the way that I have determined you should answer them. And then from her begging position, she continues, yet. That's a great word right there, yet. It's right here where we begin to see a faith being formed as only the Holy Spirit can form it. This nameless Gentile woman is expressing the faith of David, who even in the face of great opposition prays, though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Yet means, despite all appearances to the contrary, I am going to continue to put my hope and trust in you, O Lord. This is the faith of Job, who also does not get the answer that he prays to from his Lord, but in fact seems to get only rejection instead. Though he slay me, I will hope in him, yet I will argue my ways to his face. Yet means this conversation is not over. Yes, Lord. Even though I am not your child, even though I am only a dog, yet she argues her ways to his face. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. It's here that Luther's words are simply too precious to pass up. Luther writes, "You say," the woman responds, "that I am a dog. Let it be so. I will gladly be a dog. Now give me the consideration that you give a dog." Thus she catches the Lord Jesus Christ with his own words. Yes, still more, with the rights of a dog, she gains the rights of a child. Now, where will he go, the dear Jesus? He has let himself be made captive, and he must comply. But know this well, he loves to be caught like this. This is what he most deeply desires. Luther continues, "If we only had the skill of this woman to catch God in his own judgment and say, 'Yes, Lord, it is true that I am a sinner and I am not worthy of your grace, yet you have promised forgiveness and you did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance.'" How different from us this woman is. And what a wonderful example that she is for us to learn from. How easily are we offended when our Lord does not answer our prayers and our petitions with the answers that we have already formed in our own minds that he should answer with, but instead wants to strengthen our faith with his no. How quickly do we become discouraged and dismayed when he delays longer than we think that he should in giving us what we want. Maybe, just maybe, we are not as desperate for our Lord's help as we should be. But here, in this nameless Gentile woman, we see our Lord shaping and forming a rich and living faith that comes to him for his help with no rights, no entitlements, no demands, but depends solely on his grace and his mercy, even so bold as to trap him in his own gospel if he must, always knowing that he loves to be trapped by us in it. And Jesus said to her, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. She would have been satisfied with the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Instead, she got a banquet of life and salvation enough to satisfy for a lifetime and beyond. How much more confidently then shall we, to whom the word of Christ has been leaked, who are called the children of God, come to the Lord's table to receive the kingdom of heaven in the little crumbs that fall into our hands and into our mouth. Amen.